everyone. I'm Mo.
And I'm J.O.
You're listening to Mojo and the Outsiders Podcast.
Hey guys, and in this episode, we're going to talk about Rocky Mountain Toyota Roundup and all the awesome times we had doing that. We guided some people down trails, really just did a ton of fun things, so definitely stay tuned and listen.
Should be some laughs, some serious, all good things. The West was good to us.
Yep, and this podcast is brought to you by Backwoods Adventure Mods.
Three Peaks.
Triple.com. Surprise.
Man, I don't even know where to start. I mean, what a whirlwind getting out there.
Yeah.
Kind of everybody chasing everybody.
Yeah, we all got there at different times.
Separate vehicles, separate times,
yeah.
Separate planners.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it was definitely a long drive out there for sure. I know Mo had a little bit of
I had a real flying thing, man. I've never been delayed, or at least all year long, all the flights we've done, man. We have been able to, like, walk in and out of these airports, man. Think
yeah.
They're the most efficient things running. And then I left on that Friday and they proved me wrong. We loaded up on a plane. They kept trying to fix the plane. He kept saying it was something serious, so I really didn't give a shit. I want that thing to get up in the air and back. you know, I'll sit there the rest of the day. But either way, they kick us off of that one and we go to the next one. Fly to Denver, and I keep on messaging the folks at United, probably the best app ever, really. Like, they have this communication thing down pat. They had me on a flight that was like, if I missed my first flight, I was going to be good on this flight on the second one. And I was thinking, this is the best thing ever. And I land in Denver and I've got like 9 minutes to make it from my gate to the next gate, dude. And I start running through this airport. First, I start walking. You know, I hate being one of them assholes that's running through the airport.
Yeah.
And then, dude, I start looking down at my watch. You know, like, dude, I'm running so late. Like, I have to, like, pick up the pace. So next thing you know, man, I'm this idiot jogging on one of the fast walk things.
You had to use the escalator, yeah.
Yeah, using the escalator, jogging, you know, toe behind, you know, carry on with me. And then I've got my backpack on me and, What a crap show. But man, walk in, get all right on the plane, and I felt terrible because I'm usually an aisle seat. You know, it's usually aisle seats.
Yeah.
Dude, when they bumped my flight, man, they put me in a middle seat. So now I show up middle seat between this couple and I'm sweating. You know, and I'm like, we're totally hosed, man. I'm sorry, apologize to him and everything. But we ended up making it there, flew straight to Salt Lake. Jumped in a truck, drove.
You didn't
back
let
to
the couple sit next to each other,
dude. That's how they had it. They had it in between, man. They had it like that.
They wanted some space.
They probably sleeping
space. They like. Man. I had the middle seat. That was the seat assigned to me. I sat where I was supposed to.
Maybe they're not a couple anymore.
They're probably one of those couples that sleeps in different bedrooms.
Yeah. I saw no pineapples, so.
Well, that's good.
Well, I don't think my grandparents were like really pineapple advocates, and they definitely slept in different rooms.
So. Man, these two could have been it. These two definitely could have been it. They were, I mean, super friendly. He would talk to me, and then she would talk to me, and then sometimes they'd lean out in front, just talk to each other, and I'd kind of sit back, you know, so they could get their bits in.
Yeah.
Awkward.
That's weird.
Well, and it's funny that they were getting delayed because I know, like, when we had first pulled up, you know, like, they basically told us, hey, are you flying American? It was like when we pulled up to the parking lot, like, the person outside, she said, are you guys flying American? We said no. And she said, okay, good. They have a massive delay on that flight going to Dallas, which actually I found out, generally that flight has like a 40% chance of being delayed anyways. Huh. Found that out because of a different situation, but
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, I'll just tell it. Otherwise it won't make any sense. So,
you know,
I'm going to Montana or whatever in September. And when my buddy was making my flight, he flies all the time. So he's very familiar with, you know, the different, I guess, lanes is maybe what they call him, I don't know. But anyways, he was telling me, he said, yeah, he said, I'm really nervous about booking you this flight because that flight has a 40% chance of being delayed. It was either like 30 or 40% chance of being delayed, the one that goes from, I guess, XNA, American Airlines, to Dallas. And I only have like a 45-minute layover there, so that's...
You have to go to Dallas first?
I guess so, yeah.
That's crazy. I can't believe you're not like going Denver or something to change over.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so flights are, you know, getting delayed. Planes are crashing. Every single time I get on a plane, I get terrified for my life. So it's truth. It's the truth. United actually the other day almost had one too. Did you guys see that?
No.
Yeah, a guy, I want to say it was United, but they got up into flight. And yeah, I guess the pilot immediately started saying mayday, mayday, because they had a engine failure. Whoa. And yeah, so they got him back on the ground. No one died by the grace of God. That was awesome. But yeah, flights are a scary thing right now.
They're always wild. I used to, you know, never did much of it. Now it seems like we do more of it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I don't know. I just trust them. My ears don't pop as much.
Yeah.
Shit, I hope they get everything right, man.
Yeah.
That's all you get up for.
Yeah. My drive was pretty uneventful.
Minus all the gas stops.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Had a lot of gas stops. The Tacoma does not
get the best. Does well with 37s in the power. Does not do well with 37s in distance.
Well, the tank's small, yes. Right?
Yeah. Tank is really small.
This is the fourth gen Tacoma, by the way.
Fourth gen Tacoma.
New shop truck.
4G, if you will.
Yeah, hybrid. Oh, yeah. But it only has a range. It says 224 on the dash, but it's more like 180.
That's like brutal, dude.
And I was stopping every half tank because you go through these long, you know, distances where you won't see a fuel station. So basically every station I saw, I was stopping. And
hit them up.
Yeah, yeah. I think it ended up taking me somewhere around 17, 18 hours total to get to... It was probably like 18 hours right on the dot to get to Colorado, which wasn't terrible, but it was a lot of stopping.
Yeah.
Several.
Yeah. What about you, Grant?
My drive seemed pretty good. I went, let's see, since we were going straight to the San Juans, I went like through the panhandle of Oklahoma, mm-hmm. you know, instead of going a little bit north to Denver and stuff, because there's nothing through Kansas. Like, yeah. It just sucks.
Nothing.
So I ended up going to, I stayed in Guymon. So I made like a, what was that? 5 or 6 hour trip the first night and stayed there. And then, yeah, jammed the rest of the way. And then, I mean, pretty uneventful. I mean, I smoked a rabbit, but that was it. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Saw this little dude.
There goes your Easter candy.
Yeah. Yeah. Not getting anything for Easter, but I didn't even feel it. It was weird. Like I saw him kind of hopping and I was like, okay, sweet. Whatever. Yeah. I'm going to dodge this dude. And then he just jumped. He like, maybe tried to die. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I looked behind him, me, and he was, yeah, just kind of squirmy. Wasn't awesome. Felt terrible.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, right? Like, welcome to Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jump in front of your truck real quick.
Glad it wasn't a deer, though.
Yeah.
Man, they're out. They're out. We saw bunches of them, man.
Thank
goodness. Like, a bunch of wildlife this trip, it seemed like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We definitely did.
I mean, Golden, once we all got there, you know, it's like,
Jared, y'all got up, there,
man. It was, you know, we were able to run into town, round up some rations, maybe forgot some important rations like TP or
stuff. Dude, the best thing is like somehow these trips come together only once we're all together. When we're separate, things are kind of sketchy.
Indeed.
Like the company trucks don't have fridges in them, right? They're more like
show trucks with our clothes in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the exterior is dialed. I mean, the trucks look insane, but like it doesn't have those like amenities and creature comforts like our personal trucks would, right?
Yeah. Like we don't drive them daily.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So makes sense. It makes it a lot different.
Yeah. I mean, so when I was almost to there. Let's see. Y'all were already there, and I was maybe in Gunnison, I think, and y'all asked me to get some groceries because I have the fridge.
Yeah.
Right? They're like meats. Surviving on a day or two with just like dry foods and ramen. And
dry food. I think we went to town and ate at True Grit one day.
We're
back. We all get muted.
We're back.
Calls.
Sorry, we had a non-backwoods related call come in. Apologize about that.
I think I can't even remember what we ate. I know we had This is going to sound weird. Oreos, chips.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I showed up because I came up, yeah, through Gunnison, and I had never, I had gone that way, but it had been a while.
Yeah.
And I just didn't even think about it. I was thinking that there would be like
I'd message him the same thing, bring rations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I just kind of assumed that there would be something like somewhat close to where we were camping, you know, not directly by it, but maybe at least within an hour. And Gunnison's 3 hours from this place. So I go through Gunnison and I see a Safeway, and I remember looking at it and being like, man, maybe should I stop? But I also right. knew I didn't have a way to keep anything cold. So yeah. I didn't want to buy like hot dogs and Makes then sense. Sit in a car for 3 hours, you know? So I just completely ditched that idea. And then I keep on going down the road and I see this other fuel station that said it had groceries in it, but their idea of groceries is literally s'mores kits.
Like Lunchables.
Dude, it was like graham crackers, yeah. marshmallows, and chocolate was basically all that, and candy was all they wow. had.
Yeah.
So I ditched that idea and kept on going. And I remember I showed up and Mo was like,
stoked for some food.
Yeah, dude, like, real food, man. Are you shitting me, man? I was out there ready for some food, man. You know?
Well, yeah, because he tells me, he's like, dude, I've been eating Oreos all day long.
Dude, I've got Oreos.
But that's
I've
no
got
different
Oreos,
than your normal
chips.
Life.
What else did I have? I had one more curveball in there. I don't know if it was like Ritz crackers or something, you know, but it's like, dude, I'm like cycling between these
Doritos
three.
Made the cut.
You know, you're like, well, the Doritos cheesy box, right? So it's like you get Doritos, those yeah, shitty
that's the best.
Frito twisty things.
No, those are good.
And then a couple other good choices, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember thinking like, dude, he pulls up and he's like, man, I didn't stop or get anything. He said he didn't get anything.
But I'm here. Good to yeah. see you, Mo.
And I said, well, let's jump in that truck. We're going to town. We are going to get real food because I need it back in my life. But
yeah.
I mean, it was worth it. You know, it's like we were able to get some food, get some fish stuff, get some yeah. rations, re-up the groceries a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. we at least got some ramen, chicken flavored. So we may yeah. not have had real chicken, but we at least have the flavor.
Yeah.
But they were already at camp. And yeah, I went to Gunnison and I got groceries, you know, tacos, like.
Dude, did it right.
You got good
right.
stuff. You got you did well. I meant to tell
feel
you
good
that.
About
you
it. Oh, thanks.
Well.
Ground beef. Yeah.
Thanks.
A couple brat dogs hanging out in there, dude. Like,
yep, yeah.
We
yeah.
was living right once Grant showed up.
By this time, I feel like I know what you guys like, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I get to camp and they've already been there for a minute, you know, and I can't find them. So we're camped. We called this place 1210.
Well, sweet spot.
I think I might have named it. I don't know.
You did.
Yeah.
But it's dude. It 12 out of 10.
Yeah.
It is the sweetest spot. Basically on this little river, you know, like you get that nice sound. So nice that I was yelling for them when I got there.
Yeah.
That I realized.
Never
when I
heard
went down,
it.
Yeah. When I went down by the river, like there's no way they can hear me. Like no. 10 feet away.
Yeah.
It's that loud, you know. So, yeah, I pull up, man. I level the truck out, you know, and both their tents are set up. Their doors are open, whatever. It's like, I know they're around.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm yelling. I can't find these guys. So, I get all situated and I start walking down the stream, you know, and I can't see them at all. And then I see like this tiny movement in the distance and there they are fly fishing, you know. I was yeah. like, dang, here's the boys.
Dude,
can you
into
blame
them,
us?
Man.
Can you blame us? Man,
no,
I'm
I mean,
into
yeah, you were in the right place.
That was a beautiful place, man, to go fly yeah. fishing.
I mean, it was perfect, right? That spot was perfect because, I mean, the day before you got there or the day that you were getting there, I'd got there maybe 4 hours or 5 hours before you got there. Not
yeah.
too much earlier. Like I got there around noon. But like I was able to like, I fished for a couple hours. I took a nap while it rained, you know, and stuff. And it's
yeah.
like, it checks all the boxes for
yeah.
if you want, if you're content with being, you know, sitting at a camp.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way the Rocky Mountain Toyota Roundup works is, it's not like an expo you go to and kind of display. So we had to get there a little early mm-hmm. to where, you know, because it started on Tuesday.
Yep.
So we had to check in and everything, I believe Monday night maybe.
Yeah.
We had to do like some meetings. Yeah.
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 Because we were
safety,
trail leaders and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. We sponsored that with Kenda. But
yeah.
Yeah. Got there early, felt good about it. You know, it was nice too because we were like acclimated by the time we
yeah.
like led trails, which is good.
Mm-hmm. And able to recover after the drive too.
Yeah, man. For sure. The worst is like just hitting it heavy right when you get there after that long drive.
Oh, just blowing and going, man. It's like you show up and then you're going and then it doesn't feel like you ever get a break. We did it right, man. Like having that little bit of downtime before we had to be there Monday night. You know, it's like that was so, so, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were camping. I don't know if we mentioned it, but it was this area called Silverjack. Right outside of Ridgeway.
Yeah.
And it was Silverjack Reservoir. Definitely go check out that area if you haven't. It's very, very nice. They have a cool little reservoir that has like this really nice river that kind of flows into it. It's kind of a river going into it, like the very last tail end of it, but kind of the upper part of it's more of a creek. Mm-hmm. Dude, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And it's cool because like we were all, well, JL, you've been fly fishing probably more than us.
Not much more. yeah. I'm kind of just now getting into it.
Mo was probably 10 days before we were, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe more. But, dude, I just remember, you go into that fly shop, that Riggs fly shop, you know.
Dude, old Tim at Riggs fly shop, Ridgeway, Colorado, man.
Yeah.
You probably won't ever hear this, but, dude, you were a stud. Hooked me up, you know. Helps that one of our mutual friends, Tim Adrenaline Vans, works on his van. So it's like we kind of had that mutual friend. But, dude, he was absolutely awesome. You know, once he knew where we were going and stuff, he kind of knew that we were at a good spot. So he'd kind of tell me how to get to trailheads and stuff if we want to walk up creeks. But the fun thing was getting like Grant, who's not a fisherman, getting Grant to Tenkara, getting Nick to Tenkara.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, dude, getting all these guys that don't usually fish, getting them on these little Tenkara rods.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, people were getting into it. I mean, it was four of us dudes with two rods.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Yanktown.
And really one of those rods was a normal fly rod that really only I know how to use.
Yeah.
And Mo knows a little bit, but Grant had, you actually picked it up really fast. So I will say I was very impressed.
Oh, thanks, dude. I felt like a flipping idiot though. Even with the Tenkara rod, like,
Man.
Dude, your first ones, it's funny, right?
I was whipping that thing.
Dude, I'm like, telling you, you did not want spells to be running. Yeah, dude, pop that one. Accurate, man. Dude, but the same, right? You know, you started to figure out the same way, you know, what was catching you fish, what's not working, right? Like that gentle is way better than just whipping it, you know?
Yeah.
But J.O.'s like traditional rod and reel was fun, man. Like once you just get the rhythm. Like you use both hands. You
know,
you're pulling the line, you're throwing it. And
that
was fun. I didn't catch any with that rod, but it was definitely fun.
Well, and the way I explain like the fly rod compared to a Tenkara is like, because, you use two hands. And it's kind of like playing the guitar, playing the drums. You know, it's like once you kind of start doing it and getting your hands to work together, you don't even really notice it.
Yeah, you know? It's kind of fluid.
But at first, it feels really weird.
It feels
really weird.
Yeah.
The Tenkara.
Pat your head and rub your belly, Dill.
Yeah. The Tenkara, to me, just seemed like it was way more beginner friendly.
Yeah.
And definitely the perfect setup for where we were too, because I ended up having to go get a really short leader. Like the shortest one they had was 7.5 foot. I ended up using that and I was able to make it work doing that. But the creek we were fishing, what would you say was it, like 8 foot wide at most?
Yeah. It wasn't big.
Yeah. So it was
perfect though.
Yeah. Oh man. It was.
Well, I was going to say like you would even sub your rod out. Let me see if they get that 10 car.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I did catch a few though on that fly rod though. So I was pretty stoked on that, but man, not near as many as the Tenkara did.
Yeah. And the Tenkara, if y'all don't know what it is, it's like the most bare bones rod ever, right? Yeah. It's literally a rod. There's no reel.
Nope.
There's no moving parts, man. It is a telescoping rod.
You
just whip it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like a daggum cane pole with a string tied to the end of it, but it's a lot more in depth than that, you know. But
sure.
That's essentially kind of what it looks like.
Yeah.
Dude, it was fun. Like I said, that part was fun, you know, getting to relax before we went to the show and just, you know, that part was amazing too.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, one funny thing at the Riggs Fly Shop I want you to say before we get into the show.
I think
stuff,
I know where this is going.
It's like you like continuously coming back to the shop, same clothes, bringing more dudes.
Oh, dude. So here's the thing, man. I get on this road trip, man, and I'm like every dude, man. I pack too much clothes, and I'm like, I'm like, man, I think I've got enough. And my wife even busted me on it. She's like, man, you always bring so many clothes and you're only going to wear but a handful of them. And I get out there, dude, I'm living almost exactly how she said I would. And I keep on changing the skivvies, you know, but these maroon shorts and this blue plaid shirt, they're not dirty. So
yeah.
Day one,
killer combo,
right, dude, for sure, right. And with
Bloodstones, yeah,
yep.
Shorts. So day one, I go to this fly shop. That's what I'm wearing. Day two, back with JO. This fly shop. Guess what? Plaid shirt, maroon shorts, Bloodstones. Easy for Tim to pick me out every time.
Every time.
Third day, we back. You know, this time with Grant and Nick, and I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Blue plaid shirt, maroon shorts, Bloodstones, yep. You know. And then was it the fourth time or the fifth time that I went there that I finally broke it?
I don't know, but that's a lot of times.
I know.
Either way.
Well, dude, did you say...
I was a Reggie, man. Every time I'd go in there, man, I was scared to death. He wasn't going to recognize me.
Well, did you say like he didn't talk to you as much when you wore the different clothes?
Yeah, wearing a green plaid. I knew this for fly fishing. You better wear plaid.
He probably didn't recognize me.
Oh, my God.
Get some plaid, sun hoodie. Yeah. Don't mess around.
It's so funny.
One thing while we're talking about clothes, one thing I did learn on this trip is next time I do that long of a camp trip, I'm gonna bring a lot more like quick drying clothes.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I brought a decent amount of them, but I end up finding myself basically only wearing those because that was like kind of the only thing that like wouldn't stink, wouldn't feel dirty after wearing it for one day. So. Yeah. If you guys are ever doing one like that, you know, you may, obviously you don't want it to be in the middle of winter because you'll freeze, but you may kind of keep that in mind. Like try to find stuff that if you got to wash it in the creek, it's going to dry, you know?
Dude, my wife was down there living like a hippie washing clothes in the creek.
Yeah.
Man, yeah.
Had some of that. What's
she
that?
Was.
Nature soap or whatever.
Oh, Dr. Bronner's peppermint.
Yep.
Hit them clothes, I can still smell it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's incredible.
When I was still down to wear that blue plaid shirt, man, Mariah's the one who kicked it out of the fleet. You know, I swear up and down it's still clean.
Dude, you went nose blind, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I felt good about it. It's weird, you know. It's like, I don't know, man. It didn't feel like I'd done much to get this shirt dirty. Catch a bunch of fish wearing it, walk out the creek bed wearing it.
Yeah.
Sit around a propane campfire.
That's true.
Well, memory. Sorry, go ahead, Grant.
Well, I was just gonna say what was crazy about the clothes you're saying is the amount. So we were out there in total for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, in this episode, we're gonna talk about the first week of the Colorado trip. But I had to buy more boxers, dude. I had to buy more,
dude. That's real
like,
life
stuff, you know. And I realize you can go, you know, to the laundromat or whatever, but not for us.
Dude, my first day. Who knows if this even ended. I had to burn a pair. JL knows about this.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm standing there. I'm standing there in the morning. First day JL gets there. We go to town, get them rations. Forget TP.
Well, yeah, you know what it was? Is you eating all that
That buffalo chicken.
Food. Yeah.
It was that buffalo chicken at True Grit. And, dude, talk about a full meal on that one.
Totally
different story.
What can I get that will wreck me?
Yeah.
Dude, give me that thing. I mean, I was froze solid. Didn't think I could take another step, you know. And I am, like, looking for TP everywhere, man. And Grant's got this new sweet shovel, and I'm like, I'm probably going to have to use that to dig a hole. Like, that's our only shovel. This is back to the truck.
Please. Yeah.
Super sweet, not having much on them, you know, like for like the normal stuff we use, like what our 4Runner has, your FJ, your Tacoma. I mean, Grant knows it by now for sure. If not, you'll definitely know it. I live out of his truck when we're together. You know, his truck's there. It's a one twosie split kind of thing. You know,
like
I'm
going
to be there to borrow cutlery. Some fridge space.
Definitely had to on that trip.
You know, your pantry. It's like, dude, if I could figure out how to get your fridge slide to work better, like I'd be in good shape, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, the only stuff I brought, I think I brought two plates, two forks, two spoons, and a jet boil.
So funny.
Yeah. And that was it. Like,
well, I didn't bring anything. Like, I had to fly out, you know. So I packed all this stuff.
The Tacoma and had to get loaded.
Like, Joe, here's my sleeping stuff. Here's some heavier clothes that I probably won't wear.
But not only just for y'all, for the wives, too, because the second week our wives met us out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that adds up.
The Tacoma
is tiny.
So tiny.
It was loaded up. Because I remember the first night I'd kind of planned on just, you know, driving out there, of course. First time I'd kind of planned on just pulling off somewhere, you know, leaning back the seat, taking a nap. And then I realized I can't lean back my seat because it's so packed.
No.
So I ended up having to get a hotel. So it's like, it was that packed. I mean, you could not hardly move anywhere in there.
Yeah.
But no, everything made it though. Everything, like I said, more stuff than what I needed, but I was stoked. Like I said, wouldn't have changed it. Different how they summer out in Colorado. I think that kind of caught us all, man. Like, wake up and it's 40s and 50s. You're like, dang, man, a little frost on the pumpkins up here, you know. But I slept so, so good, man.
I thought it was
the absolute best.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick, I noticed the time. We are going to take a commercial break.
Joe got to take a shit.
I ain't taking a dump. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
All right, so we're back. Everybody seems to be doing better.
Yeah, JO, you feel better?
Ah, man, feel incredible.
Nice. Nice.
No, but it was good. I mean, and that was like basically it, right? It seems like we've covered a lot without even really getting the show, but those first couple of days were just epic, you know?
Yeah.
For us to grow as a group, I love that stuff. Back to the basics. To the people that listen, man, thank y'all for your patience reaching out to us, inquiring about orders, questions about products.
Yeah.
We know it was a fight to deal with us being out on the road. We appreciate y'all's patience more.
If y'all follow our Instagram and stuff, you know, whenever we're on the road, we post, I guess I post like these guys working, which is funny. You know, it's like,
dude, we try to stay up on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the middle of like the most epic campsite, and then, you know, two dudes on a tailgate on their laptops and Starlink, you know, it's cool.
Talking to customers, putting in the orders, man.
It's funny. Yeah, customers will call and they're like, "How you doing? Blah blah." And you're like, "Man, I'm doing great." In the middle of the woods, birds chirping, fish flying by, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What can I help you with? You know?
Yeah. No, it was definitely handy having the Starlink. Definitely we did realize that it does have its challenges out in the very tall mountains. We didn't really think about.
Yeah.
Like, keep the tent closed.
Keep the tent closed. They don't want any obstructions. It does not like clouds.
Yeah.
It does not like being, even if you're parked out in a clearing, if you're by trees, it seemed like it didn't like it. If it was in a big clearing, it seemed to thrive. But like,
even that determined our campsites really.
Dude,
how open it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or where the Tundra was parked for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, had to have that stuff. But, dude, we did it, man. I felt good about it. I hope y'all don't hate us. We still love y'all.
Yeah.
It was good. But, I mean, day one of the show? Where you guys want to kick it off? You want to talk about the safety meeting, run into JO's twin?
We got to talk about the safety meeting for sure.
Dude,
for sure.
Are you going to put that clip up? You should put that clip up.
I will.
Says so there's this guy, Eazy-E, and he helped us last year on. His name's Eric Ross.
His real name.
But super cool guy, by the way.
He ended up leading us again and everything. And this clip will put all that stuff together. But. One of the things they do at this show is, and I love it, you know, for us trail leaders is we get a list of everybody and their experience and what they're driving and how much lift and everything. And so it's like for us as trail leaders, super cool to know what we're getting into. Obviously, the first day kind of had a mix up. We had two of us leading imaging.
Yeah.
You know, which we were fine. We were fine with them calling the shots. Us having shotgun, you know, it's like we had cameras, we wanted to get content anyway, so this made it a little easier for us. You know, we're able to ride along with Matt from TAV, which was super cool to have him in your truck kind of riding on the sliders of the Tacoma at some point.
Walt was there with the goat too.
Yeah,
they brought that over.
Oh yeah,
dude.
Yeah,
the truck eats.
That thing was nuts.
It was sweet. You know, imaging was, if y'all have never run it, it's kind of wild now because the Telluride side's closed, but still super pretty on the Ouray side, all the way up to the top. You can go down to Tomboy Mine, kind of get on the outskirts of it.
Yeah.
Figure out some things on that. Don't trust all tech.
And it wasn't too technical. I mean, the trail, like it's really not bad at all. So,
no,
I mean,
there's so many go arounds on it, right? It's like, seemed like anything that was hard, if you didn't want it to be hard, you could drive the not hard way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you probably wouldn't want to take like a Toyota RAV4 up it, but I mean, you could take a stock Tacoma easily.
Yeah, man, I bet you get one decently far.
I mean, I did get Tip City on it. On that one wheel lift.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did. But there was a bypass for it.
There was a bypass, but yeah. The trail is definitely... 37s. What? What'd you whisper over there?
Yeah. He definitely got tippy.
I put 37s on.
Yeah. Yeah. In case
you
didn't
know. It's always the pretty ones.
No.
But no. Yeah, he definitely did get tippy, though. And I remember we were
sitting behind him.
Yeah.
We were going up the obstacle, man. You see this thing rock back, and you wonder if it's going to hit that teeter point where it's going to start to come back down, or if she's going to just keep rocking
back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back down.
That was sketch. Oh, I didn't know I left the earth until the come down.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wait, I'm not hitting anything. You know, it scared me, man.
I bet.
It just came out of nowhere. Yeah.
It scared me to death, man. Yeah. I mean, not only were you going to flip, but selfishly, I was also thinking, dang, he's going to take us with him because we're right behind
yeah,
you're
behind
him.
Us.
You know, so it, yeah, dude, it was sketchy looking.
That was something.
Glad you made it. Glad you survived. So
Poser Rock was cool.
Dude, finally ton of fun, man.
Check that box.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Mike, right? Mike was our...
Yes.
Yeah, our other trail leader.
Yeah, he was FJ Cruiser.
Yep.
Voodoo Blue.
He guided us up there, and that was cool, man. We got a sweet picture of all of us on top of the Tacoma on Poser Rock standing, you know.
Yeah.
Got major vertigo.
Yeah.
Dude, for sure.
On this tiny tent and, yeah, edge of the earth.
Over the hood, there was nothing.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about Mike that we lack, we don't live there, all the little facts, you know, that he knows about these hills and where they used to do stuff, just the stuff like we would know about the Ozarks, right? You know, like more history behind it and everything. But that was super cool.
We had
some of the Toyota boys there. Some guys from Toyota were there and a new Tundra riding around. So that was, I mean, it was fun, man. Good group of folks. I don't remember how many rigs we had total. We were a pretty solid group. 8 to 10, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the perfect number, man. Any more, it's just not a good time, honestly. It's too much to keep track of.
Dude,
but intimate enough where you can kind of hang out with everybody.
Oh, it was good, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then you get back. I mean, this was JO's first time, right? So you get back about dinner time, go back to the fairgrounds, and I'm trying to remember what they served us dinner the first night. Was it the enchiladas and then...
I thought it was lasagna
night. It was incredible.
Banging as always.
Yeah.
So good food.
That's the thing. Like this show, if this one's not on y'all's radar, you Toyota folks, man, like put it on your radar. I think it's like $200 and it's like trails that are led. Obviously, this doesn't cover camping. You disperse camp or sleep in a hotel, do whatever. It doesn't cover your lunches or snacks or anything, but it's like $200. And you get all this, you know, cool swag, get to hang out with a bunch of cool people, like-minded folks. And like I said, it's just such a community event. You know, for us, we love going to it because it's who we are as people. Like we want to run trails. We do not want to stand in a damn booth and talk to people. Like we would much rather go out and demonstrate products being used on the trail and connect with people that way, you know, than versus just, you know, kicking it in a parking lot. You know, for us, we're enthusiasts. We enjoy being outside. So this show just like connects all the dots.
Well, and this right here will tell you how cool this show is. So kind of a little bit of a disclaimer on it. If you want to go, you better figure it out before the tickets go for sale.
Because they sell out in minutes.
It was like, what, 45 seconds this year?
Yeah, that's
what
she said.
I wasn't even that.
I think it was 45 seconds is what they said. So, if you want to go, you better decide right now. You know, don't think, oh, I'm going to buy tickets week before. Like, you won't be.
No, it's such a good event, you know, and it was different to see the shift this year versus last year. You know, I thought there was way more Tacomas and Forerunners at this year's, you know, almost like word was spreading the year before. Mm-hmm. Still Tacomas and Forerunners, but definitely more FJ dominant. And not that this show wasn't FJ dominant, but there seemed to be more of a mix, you know, like word starting to spread. And we get why the FJs are there. You know, it's like this show replaced FJ Summit. So kind of something they've always been doing and going towards. But now they've started to include everybody, all the Toyotas, you know, you can see it kind of starting to grow across the different generations and platforms.
Yeah. I mean, it was my favorite show I think I've been to for sure.
Dude, that's facts.
I would say same, dude. Like, it's an experience. I tell people it's not a show. It's an experience. Like, you are involved. You're doing stuff.
It almost
as a vendor and a spectator.
It almost to me felt like, it's gonna sound weird, but it almost felt like a summer camp. Like it almost felt like summer camp, and we were counselors.
I totally agree, man.
So it
we're like the line leaders.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. Highly recommend it.
It's good, man. Kathy, James, Eric, all the guys, Adam that put that show on, Hugo, everybody involved with that show. I'm sure I'm forgetting some people. But man, they absolutely crush and really go out of their way to make sure you're having a good time. I mean, Kathy, seriously, like,
yes, Kathy's the best.
Above
the
and absolute beyond. Best.
I mean, they all volunteer for this and it shows, man. It's like you can tell that they are passionate about it.
Yeah.
They love it, man. And do a great job, man. I mean, seriously, do such a good job. So
that's the cool part is like it's such a vibe when you're there hanging out, whether you're hanging out inside eating dinner, you're outside in the parking lot looking at people's rigs. People working on their rigs, you know, Rafael,
from last year,
man, you know,
junior
we're
and
there.
Senior, both legends,
you know. So it's like, sorry, checks just showed up, fat money boys, mods in the mail, but it was, I mean, just it's such a good way to come together, meet folks. It's funny, we ran into a couple that we know from Missouri. We out there hadn't seen them probably in 2 years in Arkansas, and then all of a sudden we run into them. They're in their FJ, running some of those different trails. So it's like super cool to see the folks you see. Obviously, the repeats, Rafael and the gang, man. They've got the FJ looking good. Roth Jr. Riding a motorcycle,
Or
at least laying it over.
Well, I mean, every year we go to that show. I guess it's only the second year now, but that FJ gets a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I was going to
say. So does Rafael.
I think you guys have told the story on the podcast about how you guys met Rafael, right?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, with the bear and the walkie-talkie and
So as a reminder, this is the same Rafael. It's the same one that they ran into last year.
Dude, he showed up this year. He's about a foot taller, man. I couldn't even recognize him, not for them transitions. Like, that was the key on me.
Yeah.
You know, I said, dude, that's Rafael, man, you know?
Yeah.
Sure enough, you know, he was stoked to see us. Feelings mutual. Talked to him about next year's camp. You know, it's like they're going to lock it down for us. Thank you so much for the Coronas. We still have a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's funny. I don't know if they knew this, but we used those and like four camp chairs as like a marker for our campsite because we had to run trail and we wanted
There's
to come back to
the same
site.
There's good people out west. Good people in those mountains.
Honest.
Yeah, and we come back, man, kind of half expecting this spot to be jacked, you know.
Yeah, have our chairs out away from the campsite. Somebody
I mean, it's a beautiful spot.
Yeah.
And, dude, we come back, those beers haven't moved, chairs haven't moved, our leveling blocks are right where we need to be.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Colorado folks are the best. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that almost that whole area was all, you know, I guess people going to the show. You know, it's like we talked to those other people in the first gen forerunner that were having issues with all the things. And then Rafael Sr., he can't help himself but not to work on that FJ.
Dude,
it can be running like
the
top, and he has got to put some wrenches on it at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the middle of camp, dude. He's got, you know, axles pulled, it looks like, and he's doing all this maintenance, you know. Like high level stuff, you probably want a garage for. He's
there. Roth Jr. back there, JB welding his oil cap on the motorcycle.
On his bike, he laid it down.
The whole time I was like,
these guys are awesome.
Yeah, the whole time I was like sitting there thinking, watching Rafael work on that FJ. I don't know if I've told the podcast, by the way, the rear end went out on my FJ. And
SOS.
Yeah, so the whole time I was like, God, I wish I had my FJ and some gears here, dude. Rafael, get this knocked out in 30 minutes.
Dude, he'd bang that out in the evening, man.
Heck, I may not even have to have gears. They'd probably JB weld it back together.
That's right.
Yeah.
And be dialed.
Yeah, for sure.
So, dude, they are very, very smart people, man. Very smart.
Which is very in tune with their machines. You know, it's like Rafael's very in tune with that FJ. You can tell he knows about it. And then it's cool because last year, Rafael Jr. wasn't driving, you know? And so this year, you'd see Jr. driving the truck. And so it's like kind of cool to see them.
The father-son bond. Yeah.
It's awesome.
So good, man.
Yeah. Watching them repair stuff, you know, Rafael Jr. kind of get where he thought it was right. And he'd run up to Rafael Sr. and kind of get a, is this good? Yes, no, maybe. And then I think, you know, Rafael Sr. did just a little more grinding on that oil cap and then just told him to turn it loose. You know, it's like, you know, it was cool to see how, like, he's not going to do it for him, but he'll help and kind of get it right so that he's not just wasting his time, you know, repairing something. Like, it's going to be fixed when it's done. But
they are
absolute legends. Super cool. I told him to hold the campsite for us last year. It's 360 days from now, so whether they remember, I don't know.
Something tells me they will remember.
Probably, man. Guarantee. They're good
like that. I'm going to pull up there next year like they did, and I hope they've got a 12-pack of tall Coronas and at least two camp chairs sitting out there.
Yeah. Let's make a bet on it. I bet very first day we show up, they have the site. I bet they have a thing of Coronas just sitting there.
Oh, of course.
I guarantee you, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, they're those guys. Like you said, bought us beers for no reason. It's not like we'd helped them.
Yeah, unbelievably anything. Nice. Yeah. You
know, like, we're just neighbors.
Also, if y'all are listening, I know I do. Maybe you do too. But I have one of those Coronas sitting on my shelf next to my desk.
I have it on my desk. Yeah. I wish I would have had him sign it.
It's a
little keepsake, man. I mean, the Coronas. FJ Yellow right there. Ties together. He can get that FJ looking like a Corona can. Plays his card right.
Yeah. Wrap that shock body. Corona can.
Now, I mean, dude, I know we've said it, but man, I'm telling you, like, just how cool of a dynamic do they have? Like, Rafael Sr. is definitely setting up his son for success in life. For sure.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, dude.
Dude, he's playing the bass, right, man? Strong work ethic. You got to work for your shit.
Yeah.
I mean, we're
stuff's going to break.
JO and I are both fathers, and it's like, man, seeing that come to fruition is super cool.
It's inspiring. It
for sure is, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Goals.
So
it is. Rafael Sr., good job. Rafael Jr., good job.
Yeah.
Right. But
see you next
tip
year,
of the cap
dude.
To both y'all.
Yeah. Have we talked about Blackberry yet?
No, man, we haven't even made it to Thursday. I mean, Thursday's a chill day, so we can kind of skip it. It's kind of just a
free day.
Get content, get work done, get cleaned up.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff
dude,
like
shout
that.
Shout out again to the URA
Community Center.
Dude.
Hot Springs.
Dude, URA. It is the coolest, man.
$4 showers.
Every year, man. $4 shower.
I mean, I bet I'm 10, you know, 10 showers in there this year. I mean, probably like 5 last year. It's like, dude, like $4. Price didn't go up. They got great ice cream selection.
They do have a great ice cream selection.
Well, they're not serving that BS, right? Like full-size ice cream bars, man. None of these, like, rink-a-dinks, you know?
It was good.
Yeah, things you look for in a place you can get a shower, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me about your ice cream.
Yeah. They also have this like really big pool area where you can go sit in like the natural hot spring tubs. It's not like you're sitting in like a rock tub or anything like that.
It's just a big pool. It's just fed from
big
the hot spring.
Pool.
Yeah. Yeah. Super cool. So that's always a good option too if you want a place to kind of hang out with your lady, you know?
Or your
buddies.
Work on your handstands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So you know. it was good, man. It was definitely a good spot.
Yeah.
No, that place is always good. For $4, man, you get 30 minutes in a hot shower, instant hot.
Yeah.
Kind of a locker room vibe. Don't think you get a private stall when you walk in.
You will see a lot of dinglings, though. I will warn you.
it's a high school locker room, man. Nobody cares.
It is, dude. I will say, like, I kept myself, you know, at bay and didn't. I wore my clothes, you know. But
Same,
didn't want to be that guy, right?
Well, dude, you'd walk out of the shower. And there'd be a dude just like
drying.
Dude, there was one guy standing under the air vent trying to dry his business off.
I know.
Like, this was like the most efficient way. Like,
just like flapping in the wind.
He's like, I'm not paying $10 for this towel.
Yeah.
It's free air.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I thought the same. Like, damn, I get keeping your $10. Get some paper towels. Cover that thing up, bro.
Yeah.
But shit.
I just keep on
seeing this thing.
I just keep on remembering, man. Like the very first day, I walk out of the shower. I'm clothed.
We could have done
this.
A
is your
job.
First experience
yeah,
here?
Say,
wasn't
we could have done a better job.
You could have warned him.
Yeah.
Me and Grant know exactly what's gonna go on in this place. Like,
there's this dude.
Keep your eyes up.
There's this dude. I walk out of the shower and he's just like. Because keep in mind, like you walk out of the shower and you immediately see the urinals. And there's this dude like
just I remember you telling me
standing there butt naked and not even like standing up straight, not like hunched over. He's like inverted. Like,
arching.
Dude, full on arch, just like and his mouth is all like Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, dude, I just grabbed my stuff and got out of there. Like, I was like, oh man, like, I'm not a bashful fella, but I don't want to see some old dudes like freaking inverted butt can, dude.
Pinch, like, pinch them cheeks.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, but so, you do, I mean, just that's about whatever you could to get a shower though. I said you do just about whatever you could to get a shower.
Oh, absolutely. Because, man, I would go again. Yeah.
It was unusually dry. I think a lot of the Colorado folks were saying that, too, while we were out there. It's so dusty.
Yeah, dusty. So my skin was, like, literally flaking, dude, because the air is so dry. Off,
man. Yeah. Dry, dry skin.
Because, I mean, we're in Arkansas. Like, I don't want to call it the rainforest, but it's a semi-comparable climate.
It's a wet heat.
Very, very wet. And wet heat. Yeah, dude. Like, going to Colorado, I mean, I'd wake up every morning with nosebleeds. Of course, we were sleeping at 10,000 feet, but still, like...
Yeah.
Those things are weird, right? I forgot about those. Yeah, no condensation in the tents. Well, that one day we camped at 10.5, like, I did have condensation.
Yeah.
For the most part, though.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Different, man. The way they summer, so good.
Yeah, dude, I had more dandruff than I've ever had in my entire life. Like, Yeah, like... I'd take off my hat and then just like shake my head and dandruff would just start flying out of my hair. Like, nice. Oh man, I'm telling you, this old ginger skin is not meant for the dry.
Nice. Day walking, no. Dry skin.
Well, let's see. Friday we
double B's,
led Black Bear. We led Black Bear last year.
This was stuck, man. We had two noobs with us this time. We had J.O. never run it. We had Nick Tacoma of the Ozarks. He'd never run it.
Yeah.
Really, our whole group. In our driver's meeting, we said, raise your hand if you've done Black Bear. Zero hands popped up. We were like, all right. Everybody's all right.
Including one of the trail guides. You know, I was like, well, this is weird.
Yeah.
It was, hey, it worked out, though.
Right. Dude, that was absolutely epic. Same as last year, man. Whenever we're leading trails, man, We're a lot like you would see me on a podcast. You know, like very chill, very laid back. Facts, unless you know them, you probably won't get them from me. we're going to go up and over the hill, get you down backside safe.
That's
like, dude, the rules.
Before we get too much into Black Bear, these dudes had some near-death experiences.
Okay. Well, one was on Imogene.
I know. I was about to say, one was on Imogene, one was on Black Bear. Let's bring back the Imogene one.
Okay, so Imogene, we're trying out a little techie tech on the 4G Tacoma. They got all these sweet new front cameras.
So let me set up, too. Mo and J.O. are in the Tacoma together.
Yeah.
Let's also preface, Mo is driving, not J.O.
Okay, Mo's driving. So...
Okay.
Sorry, guys. Had a work call come through.
Looks like his gut is jammed up.
What?
Oh, from his break?
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's another break.
Yeah, yeah.
So near death, so we're trying out these cameras. You know, J.O.'s messing with the camera, and he found this new feature, and it shows even closer under the bumper. He's like, oh, dude, this is even closer.
So we're gonna try this front bumper camera.
Well, we were going to try it real quick, just so it makes sense. We were going to try it because we knew all those switchbacks were coming up on Black Bear, and we knew we'd need a spotter no matter what, but we're like, cool, we can try to see if this camera will help us to get even better, more or less to make the driver feel better, you know, because it's scary when you're just looking over an edge and you can't see anything. So anyways.
Yeah, so they're in the front.
We're doing a three-point. We're pulling forward, and we're about
they're
to
in the
back
front
up.
And I'm on the high side behind them, the next truck to do the switchback. So I have a perfect view of all this.
Yeah.
And I see them doing that three-point turn. They're getting kind of close to the edge. And then they just keep getting to the closer and closer to the
edge.
Dude,
I wish we should have taken a picture on the camera.
Well, I have a video of the tire marks.
Yeah, okay? We'll post the tire marks.
We'll put it up there. But, dude... I'm like, what is wrong with these guys? So they're driving and like they're at the edge, like literally. If they go another inch, they're
kind
like
of
coming
the
off
edge.
The edge.
Which is,
but you were at the edge first, and then started seeing like rocks kind of crumble, and you guys kept moving forward, and your front end was going down over the edge.
Crazy, because by camera we we had this much.
But the thing is, that camera is a fisheye. Okay.
This much.
All it doesn't show depth.
It's super distorted, which it makes sense why you did what you did. But my view was terrifying. I mean, I honked the horn. I honked the horn, dude. I was like, my heart rate was up. I was sweating.
You
man,
looked.
Y'all are trail leaders. Dude, stress. Like, golly, man.
I felt so bad, man, after that. I could tell. I
hate
that.
Like, yeah. Two of my buddies are about to just peace out right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
we'd only had like a 30-foot fall at that one. There was a nice space. We'd have been caught.
Well, the thing that was crazy about it was Grant honks the horn and Mo and I have seriously no idea what's going on. Like, nothing feels any different in the truck. It looks like we have a foot or two in front of us.
So by much camera. Space.
And we back up and complete the turn. And I was like, man, why'd you honk? And Grant's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, dude, we just messed out the camera. It works out great.
I'm mad right now thinking
yeah,
about this.
Yeah. And he's like, I was like, oh, man, we're just testing out the camera. It works out. And he goes, no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Dude. He shows us the tire tracks, and then I realized, oh, we seriously about.
Well, I thought y'all backed up and saw it for yourselves too, right?
No,
we still had no idea.
Oh, you kept going.
No, well, we didn't see him since until it was we came closed. Back up.
Since it was closed on the backside, we had to go back up it. So you guys did get to see it after that.
Yeah, we saw.
No,
that,
I kept my head turned inside.
Mo refused to believe that.
To look
it
at
was.
It
was very.
Yeah.
It was.
I wish
really
I could say that
edge.
Was my closest call.
Okay, yeah, so that was Imogene. So I mentioned we had two close calls, we meaning these guys. Yeah. This one was more Mo. So yeah, we're doing Black Bear, and it's probably the second, maybe the first biggest switchback there is.
Yeah,
the
just after you make that bend and go past the waterfall and you start winding back down that rock, yeah. It's that first switchback. And
yeah.
Dude, I'm spotting Grant, and it's just me outside the truck, Grant's lead car.
About the wreck.
Which we had already crushed. Like, I hate missing the steps. Like, we did get everybody down safe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everything was good through the steps. Got in a 4G stock Tacoma, made it down, standard crushed.
Yeah, in a manual.
Guy from Toyota. Yeah, it was cool.
We get down to the steps, and I'm walking Grant back on that first one, and I'm guiding him back, and I'm walking backwards down the trail so I can keep an eye on him and his front tire on this edge. And dude, this part, man, so freaky. Dude, I like the earth's gone, man. I take one step backwards and the earth's gone. Like I start to fall as I'm guiding Grant.
Well, you're backpedaling, yeah, and you're signaling to me. I mean, you're locked in to me. You're doing yeah. this thing, and it's hard to depict it, but it's. I guess your front wheels, like there's a big chunk of earth missing basically yeah. out of nowhere. And
well,
you won't
swings
know.
Wide and yeah. takes yeah. like turns back into a super yeah. new, like a super two lane. And I'm yeah. walking backwards off that wide part. And dude, I shit you not, like come off this mountain. And you know, by grace of God, right? It's like, dude, you know, somebody looking out for me. I'm able to catch myself on my arms. And, dude, I stand up back on the trail, and I look down behind me, dude. It, you know, it's like, holy shit. Like, the truck one was one thing.
You wouldn't survive that fall, dude.
No, this one, that's what, you know, it's like, man, if I survived, man, I'd be pretty lucky to walk again.
Yeah.
You know,
the best
talk
part
again.
Is so at the top of the switchback, the whole group is sitting there
oh,
watching,
yeah.
about
yeah.
to go down. Right?
Yeah.
Dude, the Toyota boys, man, Joe, you know, he sees us, and
yeah.
he is like, big-eyed, you know, like the whole truck is fucking big-eyed, really, you know, and I'm just like, same thing, you know, I get Grant down, I do finish spotting him out, and then Grant pulls way down trail, and he comes walking back up. I said, dude, you mind spotting these guys while I just go hang out with the truck?
Yeah, Mo was shaking up for good reason, man.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Dude, I could have thrown up, man, and then same, you know, it's like, gotta tell my wife, right, and dude, same, very, she was... not impressed with it, you know, but same, you know, yeah. it's like, man, here I am as good as I was the day I went out. So like I said, man, the folks looking out for you above, man, keep you right. You know,
yeah.
it's like, dude, if I'm a cat, man, I'm down to like seven lives
yeah.
know, off that trip.
It's crazy too. Cause this was my fourth time doing Black Bear. And I think the first time I did it was with my buddy Thomas. He used to work here. And I was spotting him, and I was basically Mo in this scenario where I was backpedaling and watching his truck come down. I did the same thing. It's on video.
In the same spot.
Really? Like I'm holding my phone and spotting him. Probably stupid. Definitely stupid.
Yeah.
But it's on my channel. It's on a video. Like you can see my foot like just fall down, and it's the same, just like Mo.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, terrifying. It's nothing. It's a water slide.
There's
like
nothing
rock.
To grab.
No.
Yeah,
no, it's just, you can see the loose rocks just falling. And even one of our, somebody at the Rocky Mountain Roundup said that they got a rock dent just because of
One of the guys from Slough Off-Road.
Not from us, but.
Yeah.
They said that a rig up above had knocked rocks down and hit their GX and got into it. But still, I mean, like I said, I hate for that side of it to be a thing, man.
Don't let this scare y'all, too. Like, this is just
us. Be cautious, man. Yeah, just be cautious. Know that you're up on a mountain. Know that the edge isn't guarded with barriers. Know you better watch where you're walking, where you're driving. But, dude, Stoke was the same. Everybody came down from Black Bear.
Yeah.
Same routine as last year, man. We kind of let everybody know we'd go to Brown Dog Pizza and eat. And nothing sweeter than when your whole entire group wants to go eat, hang out with y'all at lunch. You know, nobody has
to. Yeah, because that's totally optional.
But everybody chooses to, man, and it's such a great way, especially with so many new people, to share that experience over some of the best pizza, man.
Oh, it's so good.
And Telluride. Dude, what is it, the Brooklyn Bridge, man? Do your mouth a favor. Put some of that
down. Man, that was good.
Dude, it's so good. I mean, I know that it wrecks me with the worst heartburn on the planet. I'd eat a slice right now if it walked through the door.
Absolutely. It was cool, too, because that's actually when our owner, Chris Chandler.
Yeah, Chris had showed up
and his
with
son.
Drew.
Yeah, so yeah. He was going to tag along with us on the trip for the content trip that second week we were in Colorado.
Part two.
Yeah, part two. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, he came, you know, perfect timing and met us in Telluride and had that pizza and.
Dude, it was cool. Like I said, he kind of get to see what we've been doing, spreading the love, you know. Getting to talk with the Toyota guys, man, that was super cool. The insight they gave us to how they build these machines, you know, what's held to the highest standards. One of the guys, I mean, you know, Grant and I were in awe of the guy driving a 4G Tacoma standard down there. But he kept talking about how this Toyota Tacoma is like how it's got enough low end and like first gear that you don't really slip. Same with in reverse, right? You know, it's
You slip the clutch out and it'll grab and crawl.
Yeah, yeah, stays,
versus
yeah.
like roll forward, you know. And so some of the stuff they're working on is super cool. You know, TRD John's already kind of leaked it, but you know, they were kind of talking about that for a minute. The you know, new Tundra that's gonna be a ripper, maybe a jumper too. Cool to hear him talk about it, that side at the inside, and then having the best time with them, everybody eating pizza, and then back to the fairgrounds for more sweet food.
Yeah. That was the last day. We had like a party. I mean,
the best part, man. Kathy then put on some live music outside, everything like that. But I mean, epic trip. Like I said, if y'all ever get a chance to go to the show, I can't suggested enough, man. It's the middle of summer. I know for us, we were able to get away from the first heat dome. You know, I think it was 100 plus degrees back home, and we were living at like
all humidity.
80, yeah. You know?
And we got so lucky too, because as soon as we came back, Arkansas went back to 80. So.
Cold front, dude, for rain, sure.
We missed
summery thing.
Yeah.
But it was good. Well, dude, I mean, that seems like pretty good for round one. Seriously, round two is going to probably be just as good. Probably a little more funny stories in there. Dude, thank you all for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening. And yeah, you can check out our podcasts on YouTube. You know, we do an actual video podcast on YouTube.
This one should be good. We've got quite a bit of videos. Yeah. It'd be cool to put in some of that 10 car stuff.
Yeah. I'll be even post some photos that we took, you know, throughout the time too. And so check it out on YouTube. If not, you can check it out on Spotify. Definitely give us a shout at any time. It's Backwoods Adventure Mods on Instagram, on YouTube as well. And then our website is backwoodsadventuremods.com.